Ever, please, in John's Gospel, chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 31. I think most of us are familiar with the incident in the chapter. However, the Lord met a blind man, taking the initiative. He sent him to the pool of Siloam, told him to wash, and he came back seeing. And then we find that the man, he came into contact with three different parties. First of all, we read about the neighbors, and then we find, secondly, his parents, and thirdly, the synagogue authorities, the ecclesiastical authorities of that day. I think this is a background to the passage that I want to read in John chapter 10. But let's read verse 31 in chapter 9 for the context. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, and as to the blind man, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast them out. Now the word is very strong. The word means they excommunicated him. Actually, we could use it in our language, they threw him out. Excommunicated from the synagogue by the official Sanhedrin at that time. They cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And they worshipped him. Now over to John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door of the shepherd of the sheep, to him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Notice that little word particularly. He led them out. He leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And there are still a lot of people today that don't understand the teaching of this first parable. Most important. I want to point that out in a moment or two. Now, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock. Notice that particularly. Not one fold, but one flock. It's the difference between the fold and the flock. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was in Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I have told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. May God add his blessing to the reading of these important words of the Lord Jesus. During these meetings, we have been looking at the shepherd ministry of the Lord Jesus. We have already pointed out that there are five great classic passages in the Old Testament that deal with the subject, that is, the shepherd and the sheep. We have already looked at three of them. We looked at the 23rd Psalm to see what David has to say about the shepherd and the sheep. And then Isaiah, what he has to say, that beautiful passage in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, where we get the feeding shepherd, the serving shepherd, the servant of Jehovah, and his fourfold ministry, a ministry of food, a ministry of gathering, a ministry of comfort, and a ministry of guidance. How beautiful those words are. I want to repeat them again. One of the most delightful passages in the whole of the Old Testament is the fourfold ministry of the Good Shepherd. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are of young. First of all, David's testimony concerning the Good Shepherd, and then the testimony of Isaiah. And then we were looking last evening at the testimony of Zechariah, where we get the smitten shepherd. The way it goes sword against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellowship, the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Actually, there are five great passages all together in the Old Testament, and they give a fivefold description of the shepherd of Israel. Beautiful, beautiful passages. Now, this afternoon, I want to look at the most important passage connected with it, and that is the testimony of the shepherd himself. That is the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10. This evening, I want to take another passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, where it is taken and practically applied to you and to me, this work of the Good Shepherd. We've been trying to point out that the background to the passage that we've read together is John chapter 9. I think it's rather unfortunate that there is a division between chapter 9 and chapter 10. Because actually, the teaching of our Lord concerning his shepherd work in chapter 10 is based on the narrative concerning the blind man that we get in chapter 9. The Lord takes the initiative. That dear man sitting outside the temple, he was blind. And the Lord spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and put it upon his eyes. And he sent him to the pool of Siloam. And he said, Wash, you'll get your sight. And he went there, put it into practice what the Lord had said, the obedience of faith, and he got a sight. Now, when he came back again, he went into difficulty, as many a person today does when they trust Christ as Savior, and when their spiritual eyes are opened. The first thing was a neighbor. And there was an argument among them whether it was really he or not. You know, it's a wonderful thing that when a person could say that there is a controversy among the neighbors of what has happened. I can well remember the time when God saved me. I was anxious out at the time of going over to Africa to preach the gospel to people that had never heard it. But you know, I got down on my knees one day and asked the Lord if he would guide me and open up my way to work with the mission field. And it hit me right between the eyes. What about the neighbors? What about the old lady next door? There was an old lady there, and she had a tongue like a razor. Terrible person. And every time I got down to pray and I asked the Lord to send me to the mission field, the Lord said, what about the lady next door? And you know, I couldn't get over it. Until one day, I left my room, a very trembling man. I came out through the front gate and went to the next door, and I locked the door, and the old lady came out, and she looked at me with a very, very penetrating glance. She said, what do you want? And I said, you know, I think the Lord is sending me to the mission field, but I feel I would be a hypocrite unless I, first of all, told you what has happened to me. Well, she said, if it gives you any satisfaction, go ahead. And with my heart pounding underneath my ribs, I stood there, and I told her how that God had saved me and how she could be saved. And I could see her opposition, her antagonism breaking down. And after I was through, I think she was a little bit amused at my embarrassment. She said, God bless you, boy, and send you out to the mission field. You know, many a time I sat up a tree waiting for a lion. And I must confess I was more scared than going to that woman and telling her how I could save them, how she could be saved, than sitting with a gun across my knees waiting for the king of beasts. But in any case, the first thing that this man ran into after he got saved was a controversy among the neighbors of what had happened to him. I don't want to pursue that. But after that, it was his own parents. And they didn't want to take any responsibility about it because they didn't want to get into trouble with the Sanhedrin. And they said, we don't know what has happened to him. One thing we know, that this is our son. He's of age, ask him himself, and he'll tell you what has happened to him. But the third was the ecclesiastical authorities, the Sanhedrin, and also the leaders of the synagogue. And he started to witness to them. And when he started to witness to them, they were so much upset and disturbed, we read in John chapter 9 that they threw him out. They cast him out. It's a very, very strong word. He was excommunicated by the synagogue authority. You know, I may be looking into the faces of some here this afternoon that have had an experience of that kind. And if God saved you, and sometimes you run into trouble, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have the Lord be able to encourage and help. You remember what happened to him? He was cast out, he was excommunicated, put outside. But then the Lord heard that, and he looked him up. And when he found them, he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? He said, who it is that talketh with thee? He says, Lord, I believe. I believe that he worshipped him. What a lovely, lovely story that is. But the important point is that he was excommunicated by the ecclesiastical authorities on account of his faith in Christ, what he believed. Many years ago, I spent a year in Portugal. I went there to study the Portuguese language. And while I was there, there was a dear old man got saved in a very remarkable way. He belonged to the Masons. And he, when he got saved, he thought that all that he needed to do the next time that the Masons gathered together, he would go and witness to them. By the way, his name was Peter Coelho. And those two words, it means chicken, rabbit. It's a chicken habit. Little wee short man, but a man that was absolutely full of joy after God had saved him. And he thought that all that he needed to do was to go to the people with whom he had been in communication formerly, that fraternal society, and witness to them. And of course, they would all get saved. But you know what happened? When he went there at the first meeting and told them how that God had saved them, they threw him out. They excommunicated him. He had no trouble at all being separated from that society because they threw him out. Now, that is the background to this passage. Now, I feel sorry that there is a division between chapter 9 and chapter 10, because the story here of the wheat pile was to be found in chapter 10. I believe that the background to it is what we find in chapter 9, connected with the excommunication of the blind man. Now, here the Lord gives three parables, and I think that it's one of the critical points in the ministry of Christ. The first parable is the parable of the fold, the sheepfold. The second is the parable of the flock, and the difference between the two. And in Christendom today, there are very, very few people realize the difference between the fold and the flock. I remember when I was a boy, there was a hymn that we used to sing, and while I would be the last one if we want to pull apart some of the beautiful hymns that sometimes we sing, sometimes without thinking. And the hymn that we used to sing in those days was, "In tenderness he sought me, weary and sick of sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to the fold again. He did nothing of the kind. He didn't bring me back to the fold." And the person who wrote the hymn, while I didn't want to be credited or make a person an offender for a word, I don't think they ever understood the teaching that we find in John chapter 10. And that is the difference between the fold and the flock. And the first parable is the parable of the fold, and the second is the parable of the flock. And then the third parable that we read just before we concluded our reading is a parable concerning the family. Now, I want to occupy just a few moments in speaking of these three parables and the tremendous truths that we find in it. I believe that what we get here is a critical point in the ministry of Christ. And I believe, again, let me repeat, that the background to it is the excommunication of the blind man by the Jewish authorities, by the Sanhedrin, the synagogue authorities in chapter 9, and then the Lord gives these three parables. Now, notice what he says in verse 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name." And what did he do? He led them out. Led them out of what? Out of the sheepfold. He called his own sheep by name, and he led them out. And when he putteth forth, now this word putteth forth is the same word that's used for the excommunication of the blind man in chapter 9. He putteth forth his own sheep. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now he's speaking here about the Jewish economy, the old Jewish sheepfold. Our Lord, as the good shepherd, the shepherd of Israel, when he was born, at his incarnation, he came to the sheepfold. Now, it would be interesting to go for a little while into the Old Testament and notice the attitude of the Jewish people, the people of Israel, to God, and the status that they had before him. You remember when they were brought out of the land of Egypt? God made a covenant with them at Sinai, and he gave them his law. And again in the Old Testament scriptures, we read about the old Jewish economy, Judaism, the stranger that draweth nigh shall be put to death. Now, what characterized it in the Old Testament was a circumference. It was characterized by a law. It was the sheepfold. Now, it was something that God had ordained. God had picked up his people, he had elected them, and given the opportunity of being his witnesses down here. They were the custodians of the law. But unfortunately, they broke that law. Unfortunately, they miserably failed in the position that God had given to them. It was the old Jewish economy. Now, the Pharisees in the Lord's day, they had made a hedge around the law. They had brought in 613 different regulations and have added them to the law. And instead of being a field, effectively with a fortress, the stranger that draweth nigh shall be put to death. It's written all over the Old Testament scriptures, the Gentile was excluded from the covenants of promise. There was but hope and without God in the world, as the Apostle Paul points out in Ephesians chapter 2. It was the old Jewish economy, the old Jewish sheepfold. You know, in Christendom today, there are many, many men who have never gotten out of the Old Testament. They have never got out of the sheepfold. They have never realized the difference between the Old Testament and the New. In this chapter 10 of the Gospel according to John, and the truth here concerning the fold and the flock, it was a critical point in the ministry of Christ. A little later, our Lord himself, he was put out of our sheepfold. But notice what he says in connection with it. He said, the good shepherd, he came to the sheepfold, he came to the door. And when he did, we read that the porter opened the door to him. And I believe that the porter here was John the Baptist. There may be a difference of opinion about this, but I believe that the man who opened the door to our Lord for the circumcision at the commencement of the public ministry was John the Baptist. He was the porter at the door. And the Lord, he presented his credentials to the sheepfold, that is, to the old Jewish economy. We find that in the first few chapters of the Gospel according to Matthew. He was the king, he was the son of Abraham, he was the son of David, and he had all the credentials, not only of the king, but also of the shepherd. And those credentials were presented at the public ministry, the inauguration of the public ministry of Christ. Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He came to the door of the sheepfold, and his credentials were presented. Now, sometimes, in reading the first few chapters of the Gospel according to Matthew, the opening verses, the opening passage in the New Testament, were so aligned with the passing by. As a young believer, when I read the genealogy of Christ in Matthew chapter 1, that first paragraph, I was so tempted to pass it by. But as life has gone on, I have realized the tremendous importance of the teaching that we get there. The first credential of Christ was a genealogy. We get it from Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 4, the genealogy of Christ. For years I didn't realize the importance of it. When I went to Africa and started to learn African languages, I learned a little bit of the importance that's put upon these things by some of these primitive people. I was living among a tribe called the Sangha, committing the language to reading, living among those people and trying to take the gospel to them. And while we were learning that language, I used to go out into the villages and sit down with the old men when the law case was being tried. I had the judge there, I had the advocate for the defense, witnesses for the prosecution, and we're all sitting around. A very primitive law case. But before any man was allowed to open his mouth, he had to tell his genealogy. And I sent my lesson to him. The judge, he would start. And I would lift his hand, he said, my father was so-and-so, and his father was so-and-so, and his father was so-and-so, his father was so-and-so, his father so-and-so. And then he would go over to his other hand, and he would tick off the different items, the different name, and his genealogy, and then he would start on his tails, sitting at his bare foot. And he would put out his back foot, and he would point with his tongue, his father so-and-so, and the toes would come up, and he would go over five toes, and then he would go over to the other foot. Then he would start again on his fingers. And when he went back to the progenitor of the tribe, it was always a woman. It's a matriarch. And when he got to her, her name was Kathleen Kambumba. And he said, now there's my genealogy, I know where I come from. And he clapped his hand, and you might have turned the head for it, because what you can do yet, that means to tie the belt. After the judge had finished, and the other members that were taking part in the law case, every man had to tell his genealogy, or else he wasn't allowed to open his mouth. And then he would look at me. Say, are you able to shoot a mirror? Can you tell the bell? Can you tell your genealogy? I never looked at my hand on myself. My father was so-and-so, and his father was so-and-so, and his father was so-and-so. But when I tapped my fourth finger, I was lost. I said, you know, these things to us are not important as if they are to us. And among us, any man that's not able to tell his genealogy, he keeps his mouth shut because he's a slave. These people, they regard these things as very, very important. The first credential of the shepherd, and he was presented at the door of the sheepfold with a genealogy. And thank God he has that genealogy. The only person who has a right to sit on the throne of his father David is the man who sits at God's right hand. The first credential was a genealogy. And then his virgin birth. We have already mentioned that. And then the fulfillment of Old Testament passages of Scripture concerning the Messiah. He completely fills all the different requirements concerning his genealogy, his birth, and the Old Testament Scriptures are all detailed. He came to the door of the sheepfold and he presented his credentials and then he went down. You know, this introduces our Lord to his public ministry down here. But when he went up to the sheepfold and introduced to the sheepfold, the first thing he did, he called his own sheep by name. What did he do? He read them out. So we get that in the Gospel according to John. In the first chapter, we find them calling different individuals. You read there about Andrew. Then you read about his brother, Simon Peter. You read about Philip. You read about Nathaniel. And these different ones that were called on the sheepfold to be led them out. Later on, he called a man called Zacchaeus that was up a tree. Then the different men who found him the gospel. He called his own sheep by name. What did he do? He let them out. Out of what? Out of Judaism. Out of the old Jewish sheepfold. He called his own sheep by name and he let them out. And then others he put it forth. Now the word there put it forth is a little stronger. And you think of a man called Simon Peter later on. Oh, he was so reluctant to leave the Jewish sheepfold. And when they turn over to the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 10, when the Lord ordered them to go and teach the gospel to the Gentiles, the Lord actually had to give them a threefold vision concerning his responsibility to teach the gospel to those that were outside the fold. Reluctant to leave. Some who led off, and others who put off. What was that happened to the man in John chapter 9? Excommunicated. But all things are, those that were led out, they came to a person. And that person was the person of the Good Shepherd himself. And I believe that that was the preaching behind this first parable. Those that were taken out, those that were led out, and those that were thrust out of the Old Testament Israel and Judaism. The Lord himself, crucified upon Calvary's cross, excommunicated by the synagogue authorities, and he was nailed to the cross. He was a good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And notice that when he put them out, he went before them. I have a friend who lives in South Africa. His name is Charlie Brookman. He was a soldier in the last war with the 8th Army in North Africa. And after the campaign was over, he went over to Israel, and he'd never been there before. And he landed in Haifa. And there was an Arab guide taking him around, but the first thing he saw when he was there was a shepherd with a flock of sheep. And it wasn't a shepherd, but it was a man driving a flock of sheep, and there was a stick in his hand. And the sheep were running along, and the man behind him with a stick in his hand driving them along. And Charlie, he said to the guide, he said, you know, when I was a boy, I understood that the shepherd went before and led the sheep, and knew all the sheep by name, and I followed him. But as if when I come to Israel, the very first thing that I see is something that I see back home. A man with a stick in his hand driving the sheep. And the Lord and God, he smiled and said, oh, he said, that man is not a shepherd. That man is a butcher. And he's taken the sheep to the slaughterhouse. He went before him, he went before him, he leads with him, he knows them all by name. He led them out. And some he put forth. out of the old Jewish sheepfold. And there were some people today who have no idea of the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Thank God we've been led out of that. It was constructed in such a way that there was a war. There was a certain difference. But the difference between that and the second parable is that the flock has a center, and that center is the good shepherd himself. And I think that will repeat again that the teaching concerning the fold of the flock is this, and what we find in chapter 9. Now let's look at the second parable just for a moment. Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now this is a different door. The door of the sheepfold in the first parable. But here he says, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. And me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now here is a different door. Here is the door of the sheep. And notice that they come to the shepherd, and instead of being a fold, it is a flock. And the center of that flock is the person of Christ himself, who is the good shepherd. Well, there are so many who have never learned this. The difference between a circumference and a center. The gathering center today of God's people is the person of the good shepherd himself, or the attractive power of Christ. Let me say that Christendom today, from the Church of Rome down, is characterized by a flock, the circumference, watertight compartments. You say, just what do you mean? What is a denomination? Or what is a sect? It's characterized by a human control and by a circumference. And denominationalism of any form, it's sectarianism, it's something that segregates the people of God into watertight compartments. And Christendom today, as we find the religious world, we find that it's characterized by the fold instead of the flock. And I think what is most important for all of us to learn the difference between the two. What is the difference between the first parable and the second parable? The second parable is the flock. And notice what the Lord says about it. He says, I am the door of the sheep. Where we come to him for salvation. And when we come to him, we enter through that door, the door of salvation. We go to him, and then we go in and out and find pasture. Out for worship, out for witness. And thank God those that are linked to him will take a completely different stand from what we found in the first parable. They're outside the fold, and they're linked to Christ in the flock. Now notice that the flock has certain enemies. We find that in the fold itself, earlier in the chapter, there are certain enemies in there. We read about the thief and the robber and the stranger. But what is the four different enemies of the flock that we find here? First of all, there's the thief. The thief cometh not but for the steal and the kill and to destroy. And I'm come that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. Then we read about the hireling and we read about the wolf. Here there are four different enemies of the flock. The thief and the robber. And then we get the hireling, and then we get the wolf. Now, all of these are explained to us in the New Testament. You know, if man today would have to rob me of my heritage, this is something that's so characteristic of Christendom at the present time. The men that would like to rob us, as the lawyers did in our Lord's day. We read about the lawyers in our Lord's day that they robbed the people of the key of marriage. And there's exactly the same thing going on at the present time. Men that are told that have vowed to uphold the Word of God and to get fundamental doctrines of Holy Scripture, and men that were taken from us at the present time. One could go into some detail about this, wouldn't be helpful to anybody. But I do want to mention, at the present time, we believe that we're in an apostasy, and the great fundamental truths of Holy Scripture are being denied. And sometimes in the most unexpected places. Now, some of the great truths concerning the person of Christ and confirm the fundamental doctrines of Holy Scripture, the inspiration of the Word. I wonder how many of us have read Harold Winslow's book, The Battle for the Bible. You know, for some time, the attack is on the person of Christ, his humanity, his deity. These are truths that were being attacked. But at the present time, it seems to be a concentration on the inspiration of the complete authority of the Word of God. Charles Ansel, in his book, The Battle for the Bible, he mentions names. I always feel uncomfortable in doing that. And I go on to do it. But as we read the book, it goes into detail about things that he knows and things that are happening right here in this country today concerning the denial of the complete authority and the inerrancy of Holy Scripture. How long is it since we heard anyone speaking on the inspiration of the Word of God? I believe that these things are things, these great doctrines, should be expounded carefully at the present time, so the young people can understand the foundations of our faith and what we stand for. These are things that are being denied at the present time, so the thief and the rabbit will come and take these things from us and undermine the great fundamental truths of Holy Scripture. First of all, the thief and the rabbit, and then the wolf. You know, the wolf scatters. The thief steals, but the wolf scatters the people of God. I believe that any man's ministry depends on it as a result of it. For everything ministry today that will draw the people of God near to Christ, near to the person of the Good Shepherd himself, that is Holy Ghost ministry. But anything that will divide and scatter the people of God, I believe that comes not from above, but it comes from above. If we find wants of Holy Ghost ministry to go in men who have a conscience about the fundamental doctrine of the Bible, and particularly the teaching concerning the person of Christ, it warms our hearts, it draws us closer together, and it draws us closer to the person of Christ himself. But wherever you find the rest, and keep following, coming along, it will scatter and divide. I have made up my mind about one thing. I know I'm coming to the end of my life. I know the time is short, but I've made up my mind as far as my testimony is concerned, but after it's left for me at heart, I want to have it a few things. And the first thing is building. And the second is bonding. And the third is beautifying the people of God. Building and binding and beautifying God's people. Beloved brethren, this is the only thing that's worth trying to do. Building up God's people, bringing them together. I will never, God help me, never be responsible for introducing anything among God's people that is cause of division or cause of scattering. Bind them together.